So it says this. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell him who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on the way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant replied, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Thanks, Laura. All right. What I want you guys to do, what I want to start with, is I want to imagine you to imagine that you're walking through the shops in the center of the city of Perth. Maybe you're walking by yourself, or maybe you're with some friends, and you come across a sign. It's not a very big sign. It's not very exciting sign. It's pretty simple, and it's just got an arrow. And you follow the arrow, and you look, and you see that it points to just a door that's just as unexciting, small. There's kind of no windows next to this door. It's in between two far more exciting shops. And so you go back to the sign, and you realize that there's some words written above the arrow. Above the arrow, it says, "Pay $2 and meet Cristiano Ronaldo." Now, maybe Cristiano Ronaldo, he's not your thing. Maybe you don't even know who that is. That's fine. So maybe it says, "Meet Zendaya," or Harry Styles. Or maybe closer to home, maybe it says, "Meet Nat Fife," or Bailey Smith. Maybe it says, "Meet Basil Zemplis." I don't know. It doesn't matter who it is, but whoever it is, you're amazed. You're impressed because you're like, "I'm in Perth. Like, what?" And this is $2, and you look at the sign and you look at the door. And my question is, what do you do? Because in 2015, a very similar thing to this happened. I don't know if you guys know Hamish and Andy. They were really big in the early 2000s. They were probably Australia's biggest radio personalities. And they got access to Ed Sheeran for an entire day. They got to do whatever they wanted. And instead of keeping him to themselves, they decided, well, let's go into the center of Melbourne and pretty much do that. They put him in a room. Pretty unassuming, not that exciting. And they put out a sign, and the sign essentially said, "Pay $2 and see Ed Sheeran." And nobody would come in. People were walking past. One of them even dressed up as like a salesman, a hawker, trying to convince people, like, "Oh, he's in there. It's going to be great. Come see." No one would do it. They'd walk past, not interested. They had stuff to do, shopping to shop. They had coffees to have. They just couldn't be bothered. They didn't think it was real. And it took 2 hours and 23 minutes before the first person took them up and took the risk and went in, paid $2, and they were dumbfounded. They couldn't believe it. There he was playing guitar just for them. And tonight, Jesus tells a story, and it sounds a bit like that. In Jesus' story, he tells us a lot. It's the one that Laura just read to us. It's super rich, but a big part of his story tells us about the kingdom of God. And he tells us what it's going to be like. Heaven, he says, it isn't some place in the clouds with, you know, nice music, wearing togas. No, it's going to be like a banquet. a feast with real physical bodies on a real physical earth, delighting in real physical food. And Jesus even tells us who's going to be there. He says that it'll be a banquet of abundance, that there'll be lots of entertainment and lots of people. And you might even, so many people that you might even be surprised by some of the people that are there. You're there and your face lights up as you see the homeless guy who works the traffic lights near your house, as you see that kind of weird kid that's on your sports team, that your face, you're actually excited when you see the bully from your primary school. You're amazed. I can't believe these guys made it. But you'll also be surprised by who's not there. That as you're there and as we're there and we're soaking in just how amazing the banquet is, we'll notice that some tables are set and they've got name cards already written in beautiful calligraphy. The drinks are poured, the food is already there, but no one's there. The seat, it says, will be empty. He tells us that there will be people who were invited but never make it there. And that's the part of the story that I'm going to focus on tonight. Now, some of you here tonight, you're here and you're brand new to Christianity. You've just signed up for Team Jesus and praise Jesus. It's so exciting. Welcome to the family. I couldn't be more excited. Others of you here tonight, you don't know anything about Jesus. You may have hardly ever even heard of him. You don't understand what all the fuss is about. Maybe your friends just kind of dragged you along tonight. You're like, this is all new to me. And if that's you, we love having you here. We hope you have a great night and really enjoy it. But I think that this passage has something very particular to say to a third group of people here. That if you're here and you're like me and you've grown up in a Christian home, this story has a pretty scary warning. Because we have had the invitation to follow Jesus at our fingertips our entire lives. And the reason that this story talks to us, the reason it talks to you so specifically, is because the man that Jesus is talking to had a very similar childhood to that. All his life, he had been taught that God was going to come and he was going to rescue his people. And he loved that. And he believed that. And so when he's talking to Jesus, he's really excited. He's super confident. He says, "Blessed is the one who will feast in the kingdom of God." Just like us, he knows all about heaven. And just like us, he's pretty confident that he's going to be there. Except Jesus, he's not quite as confident as the man is. Jesus responds, he's like, "Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the feast, the banquet is going to be great. It is going to be such a great banquet. But what makes you so sure that you're going to be there?" Now, of course, we just heard the story read. Jesus didn't actually say that. No, instead of saying that, he told a story. And in the story, he hoped the man would listen to it and he'd be able to figure out the answer himself. It was the story that Laura read. And so just to recap it, in case you've forgotten it, there was this guy, there was a man, and he wanted to throw a really big banquet. Not just a party, a banquet. And so he sends someone out to invite everyone he knows. And as the replies come back, they keep coming back. No, no, no. And he's so confused because he's like, what could possibly be better than this banquet that I'm throwing? But the invitation said one girl, she had a new car and she wanted to take it for a test drive. Someone else, they were studying and they thought, I'll just stay home and study hard tonight. Another guy, his mate, he was dogging the boys to go for a date with his girlfriend, which he did all the time. And so the man, he was devastated. The party was all organized, it was all paid for. But so he, instead of just kind of throwing it all in, no, he opens up the invitation to include everyone else, the poor, the less fortunate. He says, anyone from anywhere who wants to come is invited to come. Everyone, he says, is welcome at my banquet. Now, there's a lot going on in this story. There's a lot here about Israel, the kingdom, about Jesus in his original context. But at its heart, Jesus' story is meant to challenge us in the same way it challenged the man he was talking to originally. Jesus says, yeah, heaven, yeah, it's going to be great. But what makes you so confident that you're going to be there? It's a big question, right? It's a scary question. So let's take a dive in and see if we can figure it out. Now, for many of us, we know all about heaven and how to get there because we've received the invitation. We've read the invitation. We've had it read to us our entire lives. We know that to be a Christian, you must be able to say, Jesus is Lord. Simple, right? I can do that. You can do that. Maybe. Let's have a closer look, because the people who declined the invitation, what didn't they say? They didn't say, oh, I'm not coming because I don't like the host. Or they didn't say, oh, I'm not coming because I don't think it's real. I don't think the party's actually going to happen. No, they were just busy. They just had more important stuff to do. They just couldn't be bothered. And so often that is us. We can say the first part of Jesus is Lord. We don't hate God. We believe in Jesus. We think, yeah, heaven is real. And it even sounds pretty great. And so we think, yeah, I'll be there. Whoa, but Jesus as Lord, I don't know about that. Following him as king of my life, making him the boss, giving him all authority over everything I do, surely that can just wait till I'm older, right? Oh, I've got some other stuff I want to get done first. We look at our lives and we want all the perks of living life our way right now and the blessings of following Jesus. We want both. Now, that reminds me of an experiment that was done in the 70s. You might have heard of it. It's called the marshmallow experiment. And what they do is there's an instructor. And the instructor sits down a kid, about 4 or 5, and they give him a marshmallow. Nice, big, fluffy marshmallow. And they say to the kid, this marshmallow, it's all yours. You can do with it whatever you want. You can eat it all at once. You can eat it slowly. You can keep it for later. It's your marshmallow. And now you can imagine being that kid, that the instructor just went from total stranger to like top person of their hero list. On their list, it's like Spider-Man, Bluey, the instructor. And they before they can reach out and grab the marshmallow, the instructor says, but I've got to duck out and I've got a few jobs to do. And if when I come back, you still haven't eaten the first marshmallow, I'll give you a second. Now, I don't know if this ever happens to you guys, but it happens to me quite often. When you're on your computer and you've totally overworked it, you've got like all the programs open and it's just working so hard that it starts to overheat and the fan starts going, it's like, and you're like, this thing is going to blow up on me. And what's happening is the what's on the outside of the computer is revealing just how hard it's working on the inside. Well, that is what these kids' faces are like. They're just trying, thinking so hard, and it's revealing what's going on inside. It's like the biggest decision they've ever made in their life. Do I eat this marshmallow right in front of me, or do I wait for the promise of a second one? Now, some of them do. They successfully wait. Some of them just can't do it. They eat it. It's been recreated on YouTube lots of times. Look it up. It's very funny. But that is what the promises of Jesus can seem like for so many of us. We want both. We want to do our own thing now, but still get the prize at the end. By growing up in a Christian family, many of us have had first dibs on attending this amazing banquet. It's like the pre-release of Kanye tickets. We've got the inside scoop. We know the guy who knows a guy. But we've read the invitation and now we're entering our teenage years and we're starting to think, yeah, sounds great, but I'm kind of busy. Following Jesus, yeah. Sounds really nice, but I've got better things to chase right now. Maybe I'll just come back to Jesus later. He can wait. Now call me psychic, but I reckon I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, yeah, Hayden, I know exactly what you're talking about. But that's not me. Because I don't do any of that bad stuff, the really bad stuff that tempts so many other people. But before you get too confident, did you notice what else is interesting about the excuses? If you've got it there in front of you, take a look. It's in verses 18 and 20. That's right. None of them are bad things. Did you notice that? They're not bad things, they're great things. For many of you, the biggest threat to following Jesus, it isn't going out and getting smashed on the weekend. It isn't waking up next to some random person. It isn't logging on and watching pornography night after night. For some of you, that is it. But for most of you here, the thing most likely to stop you from accepting the invitation are amazing, God-given, and desirable things. Studying for your ATAR, making the basketball team or the soccer team or the footy team or maybe all three of them at once, maybe making your ballet teacher happy, winning Fortnite, playing Minecraft, getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend, they're all really great things, but they're just like the marshmallows. Now, for the kids who ate the first marshmallow, they would have been really great marshmallows. They would have been so tasty. They would have been everything that kid had dreamed of, genuinely good marshmallows. But what we all understand with the marshmallows, we struggle to understand with our own life. That the things of this earth can be great. Of course they are. God created them that way. But they're nowhere near as good as the glory of the banquet in the kingdom of God. Your first kiss, your uni scholarship, your Olympic gold medal. When you look back on these things from the vantage point of the new creation, they'll just seem like old-fashioned, out of tune, black and white memories compared to the impressive, immersive, ultra 4K, full-color experiences that you'll be enjoying. And so the question is, right, well, why can't I just have both? And it's a great question, but here's the catch. The catch is the invitation only has two options. It says yes or no. I'm in or I'm out. I'll be there or I won't be there. There's no third option. There's no box that says maybe. There's no bigger box that has room for you to kind of write in your long response. You can't say, sounds great, God, but you know, can we like reschedule this to I'm ready? No, just like everything in life, saying yes to one thing always means saying no to another thing. For the kids in the experiment, saying yes to one marshmallow meant saying no to two. For the characters in Jesus' story, saying yes to the great things that were right in front of them meant saying no to the banquet. And for you, saying yes to God's invitation may sometimes require saying no to things, even good things, that are right in front of you. And this is important because we cut to the end of the story, and in verse 24, there Jesus says, not one of those who were invited will get a taste at my banquet. Now that's the bad news. The good news is everyone's been invited to his banquet. Everyone. No matter how broken or naughty we are, no matter what culture or race we're from, no matter what family or what group we identify with, everyone's invited. But the people who were invited, who are invited, and respond with anything but yes, they won't get a taste at Jesus' banquet. Their table will be set, but their seat will be empty. And so I thought before we finish, and we will finish soon, let's all of us, no matter who you are tonight, no matter which group you're in, let's all take a look together at what this invitation actually says. All our invitations, they're all exactly the same. No matter who you are, every invitation explains how great the banquet is going to be. It says it in the book of Isaiah. It says, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of endless drinks, the best of meats and the finest of refreshments. It's like your favorite restaurant as an endless buffet. It's rich. It's endless. It's a banquet. And then underneath that, all it says is, are you coming? And it has two small boxes, yes or no. And that's it. It's that simple. Except, you realize that the words of the invitation, they scratch off. Kind of like a lotto scratchy, if you've ever seen them. And so you scratch off the words, and underneath it reveals that your invitation, it's not generic, that in fact every invitation is personalized. There's a message underneath, and it says, Jack, I know that at home things aren't great. I know that Mom and Dad argue and sometimes things get messy, but at this party, the Lord will wipe away every tear. So come to the banquet. It says, Olivia, I know that you're lonely, and I know that all those things that you do are just because you desperately want someone to love you and care for you and stick by you and protect you. Well, at the banquet, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. Or maybe you heard Laura's testimony, and thank you so much for your testimony, Laura, and you were like, that's me. That you constantly worry about what other people think about you, that you carry this weight of needing to be perfect for your friends, for your family, for your teachers, for your coach, but no matter how hard you try, you just never seem to be able to hit that bar. Well, at the banquet, it says, I will give you rest. You won't have to worry about a thing. It says, Ryan, I know how hard and how much you try to stay away from pornography, but it is so addictive and it's so alluring and it just keeps on calling you back and back and back. We'll come to the banquet and I will restore you. I'll make you whole. I'll make you strong. I'll make you firm and steadfast. To every single one of you here tonight, he sees your struggle and in a personalized way, his invitation says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And you look at the invitation, and you have a tear in your eye. But you make out in the top corner, there's a thumbprint. And it's red, and you realize it's blood. And you look up, and you see that the person who gave you the invite, his hands are bleeding and his face is bruised. And then you turn the invitation and you discover that on the back of the invitation, there's a whole wall of text and it's the terms and conditions for the party. Except for they're not there as they would usually. They're all smudged out and they've all been smudged out with blood. And at first you're like, that's a bit gross. But then you make out a few words and you realize that this party, it's not actually free at all. It's actually very costly, and it's at a price that you cannot afford. And so you squint your eyes to get a closer look, and you discover that the only way for a sinner like you to make it to the banquet is death. But that doesn't make sense, right? Because if I'm dead, then I can't also be at the party. I don't get it. But then it all clicks. Then it all makes sense. The servant so wanted you to be at the banquet that he sacrificed his life on your behalf. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what's the catch? Well, if you haven't caught on already, the servant in the story is Jesus. And he smiles at you with his eyes and he gently says, there is no catch. Just tick yes. Just drop everything and just follow me to the great banquet in the kingdom of God. Now, of course, you say, thanks, Jesus, but, you know, I've got a soccer game tomorrow, semi-final, kind of big deal, and I've actually washed the kits, so they kind of need them all, otherwise they're not going to be able to play, and I reckon we've got a really good chance of making it through the semis to the finals, and if we do well this year, no reason why we can't do well next year, and then if we keep that same team, well, then, yeah, that's next year, and then two, three, maybe. Could you just come back in like 4, maybe 5 years? Then I'll say yes. I might be ready then. And of course you don't. No. You just say yes. And my question to you tonight is, have you said yes? Or are you going to hedge your bets and you're going to wait for a better offer? Now, you're welcome to do that. You're welcome to do that. But at some stage, Jesus is going to say, not one of those who were invited will get a taste at my banquet. Amen. Now, if you have a look under your seats, on the edge of each column, and if you can hand it down, there, the invitation is there. And what I'd love for you to do is get a pen and a sheet of paper and respond to the invitation here tonight. And for some of you here, you might be an all-in yes. You might have come here tonight, you know that you want to be at the banquet, and if that's you, hallelujah, it's so good, just tick yes. And for some of you, you might not be an all-in no. You're here tonight, and you know that you don't want to be there. If that's you, just tick no. But I reckon that for some of you tonight, after hearing this passage in Luke, you might have come in tonight, and you might be a yes wavering no. You've grown up in a Christian home and you've always been like, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, yeah, that sounds great. But now you've hit your teenage years and you're like, I don't know. And for some of you, maybe you're a no, a firm no, but you're leaning towards a yes. You're like, I want to find out more about this Jesus. And maybe tonight is the night for you to say yes. Whatever you do, I reckon now is the night to be honest with yourself. Don't try to impress other people. Don't try and impress your youth leader or the person sitting next to you. Then the person sitting next to you doesn't even have to see this. But now is the night for you to realize where you are at. Underneath that, there's a few other options. You write your name. You write your youth group. Maybe your situation is a bit more complex, and we're going to hand these to your youth leaders. So maybe it would be really great. I'm a youth leader, so I would love to know, you know, a bit more about your yes. Was it the first time you've ever said yes? Have you recommitted to saying yes? Are you a no, but you'd love to find out more? Those questions are there. I'm going to pray. Well, before I do that, make sure at the end, after the song, you keep on thinking about it during the song, but make sure this goes back to your youth leaders. So youth leaders, make sure you gather them. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing. Lord God, thank you so much for your gracious goodness, kindness, your love for us. That you weren't happy, you weren't all right with us, with being separated from us. That you wanted to reunite with us. You went to extreme lengths to get us this invitation to your banquet in the kingdom of God. And I just ask that tonight, as we've read your word, that you would be doing work in the lives of these youth. I pray that they would commit, they would say yes, they would drop everything, and they would follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.